Friends, now we will move to the another chapter, which is called the method for taking the investment decision. So far, up to four chapters, what we have seen, the investment for the capital investment decision, capital decision. Now here we are little bit, but of the similar nature, the investment decision. There may be various type of different investments. Maybe at individual front, maybe at company front, maybe an entity per se, or maybe NBFC per se. So each and every entity has to make certain decision before they invest in any of the venture, any of the capital, any of the real estate or whatever it may be. So those type of things we are going to discuss now. This discussion will consist of the types of capital investment, then objective of the capital investment, and methods of taking investment decision under the risk. Our discussion will move around these three points only. There are several formulas used so as to understand better what is mentioned or what we are going to discuss. We are not going to discuss the formulas in depth, but the better understanding you will have once you refer to the book and concern a particular chapter where it is thoroughly explained how to calculate the certain investment decision and arrived at a certain investment decision. So let us start our discussion taking into consideration what is the capital investment. The capital investment may refer to the commodity or the money which is paid in return for the kind of assets which may be or may not be fixed or non-fixed. Acquisition of the fixed assets like land, building are considered to be the capital investment which can be used for the longer period of time before requiring any kind of repairs and replacement. That everybody will agree. Similarly, the capital investment which is made while the company purchases the items like machinery, then other goods, it would prove to be a beneficial to the operation of the business, but it is not directly linked to day-to-day operations of the business. And the third one is the capital investment need not necessarily be all about the land or machinery, building. Capital investment can also be as simple as the amount of money in the bank or in the interest bearing account can also be considered as a capital investment. In other words, the money or the capital which is invested, it can be used or set aside to generate the additional revenue. For example, if your money in the bank account, bank pays the interest, so you are getting return out of it. So that is also considered as your asset. Your bank account is your asset, and if you are putting the money, is called as an investment in that account. And for that investment, you are getting the interest, that is a return on your investment you are getting. Not always necessary that it should be a land, building, machinery or investment in the share market or mutual fund or whatever it may be. Thus, the first principal amount that is used in opening the savings bank account can be considered as a capital asset that would turn into the capital investment when the interest would be realized from every year. General conception of the capital investment is to be assets or item that which is a great of initial worth, it does not hold true. Accruing interest also is not a mandatory for the assets to be considered as a capital investment. Money in the bank capital investment, since it has a long usable life and is not used for meeting the daily monetary requirement, will fetch the interest for that. Now, let us understand what are the types of the capital investment. The types of capital investment, not just buying the things with money. There are many more components that needs to be looked into prior to indulging the resources, your valuable resources, for the purpose of investment. In business management, both tangible assets and non-tangible, intangible assets items can be considered to be a capital investment. While machinery, building, equipment, supplies, then manpower, etc. are the tangible assets, whereas security, capital investment bond, stock option, etc. that are considered under the under financial influence over the venture, are they are intangible assets. So the assets which you look, you feel, you touch, these are tangible assets. Those which only can be imagined and put it into the process, but you cannot touch, you cannot see, you cannot look, that are called intangible assets. Acquisition of liquid assets and various forms of the monetary securities, etc., are the main focus of the venture capital investments. Capital investment in real estate involves buying of the property, leasing out the property for the productive use. Market shifts have a large bearing on the value of real estate investment. Residential real estate holdings are relatively less risky and real estate capital investment. Objective of the capital investment. Why capital investment is required? What is the objective? Objective may be different. There are various investment avenues that are available in the market today. It may be the main objective behind any kind of capital investment is more or less the same, that is growth, income, and safety. These are the three main objectives of any investment in the capital. Investor can have more than one of these three objectives in mind while investing, but success usually comes with the expenses of one of these objectives. Now, maybe first we will see the safety of your capital investment. What do we mean by the safety? Safety of the capital investment depends largely on the type of investment. What type of investment you are making and how much you are safe in that investment. Even though there are 100% safe investment in the government issued securities, corporate bond, are some of these falls under relatively safe investment category. These security can usually be preserve your capital and at the same time provide you with a specific return with appropriate rate of return. Income. If you are looking for the income, then the certain amount of safety would have to be sacrificed if the income from the capital investment is the main aim. Increase in the yields in associated with the certain degree of risk. Thus, as the yield increases, the safety decreases. Means, if you are taking the more risk, you will be getting more benefit. Safest investment in the market are usually the ones that have the lowest income returns. It is generally seen that all the investors look for the income generation and took their portfolios accordingly. Growth, capital gain on the capital investment comprises the growth of the capital, and this is different from the yield. Capital gains occurs when the security brought is sold at the higher price than its original price. Then only capital gain can be taken into consideration. On similar lines, if the security is sold at the lower price, the capital loss will occur. Thus, long-term growth occurs at the expenses of ongoing investment return. Apart from these three main objectives, there can be secondary objective for the investment in the capital. What are those? These are usually included in tax minimization and certain degree of liquidity. That we have to see and take into consideration for the discussion. The capital investment that gives the tax exemption can reduce the overall income tax burden. And likewise, liquidity of the investment is highly desired by the investor. Many investments are liquid, illiquid, and cannot be converted into cash immediately. Like term bonds, it cannot be encashed within a 1 year's time. It has to complete its mandatory 3 years or 5 years term. The shares are relatively the most liquid investment since they can be sold in a day or two also, or on the same day also. Thus, the capital investment with any of the above mentioned five objective usually becomes a success when one of the two of the objectives are sacrificed for the benefit of others. Mostly, income and safety have to be shown in the way out of it, way out if the growth is desired. Thus, most of the investment portfolio should be guided by one's predominant objective. Other objectives would occupy less significant position in the investment schemes and things. This is what the objective of the capital investment is. Investment must be planned. How you plan? Investment must be planned with the appropriate weightages assigned to each objective. The choice of the objective should largely depend on the factors, some of the factors. Now, in 140 only large amount of investment you have to make, and if that failure happens, you will be come down. So it is always better to bifurcate or divide your investment portfolio. The temperament of the investor is one of the factors. Then stage of life, at which life stage, at what age he is investing, is another factor. Then family situation, whether it is immediate requirement or long-term requirement. Then material status, that is married or unmarried. Then income, what is the income source, that is also contribute to one of the factors. And the investor would be able to find a right mix of the investment opportunities from merit to avenues available to market. The investor should keep in mind that do ample research and due diligence prior to investing. The choice of the right kind of investment in accordance with the variables in connection with the investor is vital for success of any investment ventures, and the effort spent in finding, deciding and studying the various options for the investment opportunities would pay off in the long run also. Now, methods for taking the investment decision under risk. I said, whenever you want more profit, you should tend to undertake higher risk. So, return is related to the risk. So, there are certain methodologies which prompt you to take decision under various situation of the risk. Some of the most important methods that are used for taking the investment decision under the risk are: one is sensitivity analysis, second, scenario analysis, third, decision tree analysis, fourth, break-even analysis, fifth, risk-adjusted discounted rate method, sixth is certainty, which is equivalent analysis. The risk refers to the deviation of financial performance of the project from the forecasted performance. One need to forecast the cash flow and other financial aspects while selecting the project. Now let us see all the six risks in little bit depth. But I am not going to discuss any formulas for that, which is given here, and that you can understand by referring the text. The actual financial performance of the project may not necessarily in accordance with the forecasted performance. That is happening in case of the companies. Whereas the risk can be decline in demand and uneven cash flow and high inflation can affect for these companies. For example, the organization which is planning to install a machine that would increase the production level of the organization. What happens? However, the demand of the product may vary with the economic environment. That demand may vary high in the economic boom and low if there is a recession. Therefore, the organization may earn the high income or incur huge losses depending upon the business environment. So, business environment is very much required to be studied very carefully. However, different kinds of risk can be assessed up to a certain limit. Here, the risk can be assessed by using the various methods that are shown in this figure. Now, if you look the investment decision under the risk, there are six type of risk that I have mentioned. First one is a sensitivity analysis, this one, then scenario analysis, then decision tree analysis, break-even analysis, then risk-adjusted discounted rate method and certainty equivalent analysis. This is the tree which gives the overall risk scenario of the capital investment. Let us see one by one. In sensitivity analysis, what happens? Sensitivity analysis always give the forecasting plays an important forecasting, and forecasting always play an important role in the project selection. If a project manager needs to forecast the total cash flow of the project, the cash flow depends on revenue which is earned and the cost which is incurred for the project. The revenue earned from the project again depends on the various factors such as the sales, market conditions, then our market shares. Similarly, if we want to find out net present value of the product or internal rate of return, IRR, of the project, we need to make the accurate prediction of the independent variables. Okay? Any change in independent variable can change either NPV or IRR of the project. In sensitivity analysis, we analyze the degree of responsiveness of the dependent variable such as cash flow for a given change in any of the dependent variable there. That means it is the sales and market share of the company. In other words, the sensitivity analysis is a method in which the result of the decisions are forecasted, and if actual performance deviates from expected assumed performances. Sensitivity analysis basically consists of three steps, and those three steps are identifying all variables that affects the NPV or IRR, then establishing the mathematical relationship between the independent and dependent variables, studying and analysis of the impact of changes in the variables. Sensitivity analysis helps in providing the different cash flow estimations in three circumstances, and these three circumstances are: one, worst or pessimistic condition, where it refers to the most unfavorable economic situation for the project. Second one is a normal condition, which refers to the most probable economic environment for the project. And the third one is optimistic conditions. That means it indicates most favorable economic environment for the project. Scenario analysis is the second one. Scenario analysis, it is nothing but estimating the risk involved in the project. What, under what scenario, what is the risk one is taking? So, it involves the assessing the future uncertainties which are associated with the project, and with these uncertainties, what would be the outcome of it. So, in this method, different probable scenarios are analyzed and associated outcomes are also determined before calculating it. For example, if you are going to undertake an important project and have forecasted your cash flow accordingly, if your forecast goes wrong substantially, the future of the whole project can be jeopardized. No use. As discussed earlier, in the sensitivity analysis, different factors of the project are interdependent. Therefore, if any of the factors are disrupted, then the whole forecast can be going wrong. Therefore, scenario analysis helps a project manager in preparing its framework where he can explore different kind of risk which are associated with the project. It is more complex as compared to the sensitivity analysis. And scenario analysis needs a sophisticated computer, its technology, proper technology techniques for the effectively calculating the large number of probable scenarios and their respective outcomes. Scenario analysis is more useful to a project manager than the sensitivity analysis, as the former is more comprehensive and gives more insight about the project. There are few disadvantages also for this method, scenario analysis, which are as follows: because it has the complex process. Complex process in the sense that it involves a difficult calculation, as calculating the NPV for the project is not an easy by following this method. Then another one is the complexity of the method, which makes it both costly and time consuming also. This is one of the disadvantages. Another disadvantage is a difficulty in assessing the probability happening of the event. Implies that it is very difficult to estimate the possibility of the different outcomes. It's only the calculation. Event may happen or may not. Probability. Sometimes in practical life, assessing the future uncertainties is not accurate. You think something and it happens something. Then decision tree analysis. It's the third method. This tree analysis is one of the most effective methods of assessing the risk associated in the project. This is one of the effective methods. How? In this method, what happens? A decision tree is drawn for the analyzing the risk associated with the project. A decision tree is a representation of a different probable decisions and the probable outcomes in tree like a diagram. This method takes into account all the probable outcomes and makes the decision-making process little bit easier. Let us understand the decision tree analysis with the help of an example. And that example I am not going to discuss, but I'll say finally that if X and Y manufacturing the two projects A and B, the two projects need the initial investment of 25,000 and 32,000 rupees respectively. According to an estimation, 30%, 35% probability of the project A to give a return of 46,000 in next 5 years' time, and 65% probability that it may give in return with 42,000 for the same period. Similarly, 20% probability for the project B to give the return of rupees 55,000 in next 5 years, and 80% probability is that it may give the return to 50,000 in the same period. Then, if we look into this tree, we will find out the same problem. I have put it into this way, that X and Y are the manufacturer, project A and project B. Project A investment requirement is 25,000. Project B initial investment requirement is 32,000. After 6 years or 5 years, return of rupees 46,000 with the probability of 0.35. And here 42,000 are returned with a probability of 65%. So similarly for the project B, investment of 32,000 where probability is 0.20% and they can get 55,000 and return of 50,000 ke liye, see the probability will be 0.80. So this is what exactly I wanted to say. Whatever earlier discussed, it is put it into the tree. The calculation which are arrived at there is explained here in this slide. You may refer this slide. In addition to that, you can also refer to the detailed discussion, detailed description in the book also, textbook also. The advantages, as I said, are very limited. It consists of only two objectives. One is a detailed insight, which provides the detailed view of all the probable outcome associated with it. And the objective of the nature is to provide a clear valuation and the different alternative decisions. The disadvantages of the decisions tree analysis is a difficulty in the large number of decisions, because it signifies that the expected life of the project in the long and the number of outcomes are large in numbers. It is quite difficult to draw a decision tree. Difficulty in interdependent decisions indicates that the calculation becomes very time consuming and complicated in case of alternate decisions that are independently taken. Break-even analysis, repeatedly we are discussing this particular point, that is, it is nothing but break-even analysis is a widely used technique which is the project management people. It is nothing but it is the moment or the point from where your investment start making the profit. Break-even is no profit and no loss situation for a project. In a break-even analysis, all the costs associated with the project are divided into two heads. One is a fixed cost and second one is a variable cost. The total fixed cost and the total of variable cost are then compared with the total return and revenue of the project. The break-even scenario, the total of all the fixed cost or variable cost in project is equal to the total revenue and total return from the project. It matches. Thereafter, any revenue generation is a profit. Therefore, the project can be said to have reached its break-even when it does not have any profit or loss. Here it is shown in the diagrammatic way. You can very well understand by seeing the description in your text. The different costs used for the break-even analysis are fixed cost, variable cost, and total cost. Fixed cost refers to the cost which is incurred at the initial stage of the project and does not depend on the production level or operation level of the project. For example, cost of the machinery and cost of the rent. Then, variable cost. Variable cost is nothing but it is a cost that depends on the volume of the production, and wages, raw materials are the examples of the variable cost. And the total cost refers to the sum total of the fixed cost and variable cost. As shown in the figure at point P earlier one, the total cost is equal to the total revenue. Therefore, the project can be said to have achieved the break-even point at point P. Here, I am referring to this particular point. It is matching here. So, it is a break-even point. These are the variable costs. These are the fixed cost. Here it is loss. Here it is profit. This is A. And here it is input and output also. It is shown. So, that is the explanation for this figure. Risk-adjusted discount rate method. Risk-adjusted discount rate method refers to the adjustment of the risk valuation method, that is net present value, that is NPV. This is the formula which is used for calculating the risk-adjusted discount rate method. Advantage of this method is changing discount rate by changing the risk factor, and for the different time periods and the amount of risk, adjust the high risk in the future by increasing the time duration for the risk adjustment rate. And the disadvantage of the risk adjusted discount rate method is that it fails to provide tool for measuring the risk factor. Then what is the use of this method? Therefore, it is required to be supplemented with the method to calculate the risk factor. Certainty equivalent analysis. This is another method. Certainty equivalent analysis is also used for adjustment of net present value, thus selecting or rejecting the project. It is similar to the risk adjustment discount rate analysis. However, there is one difference between them. In risk adjusted discount rate analysis, the discount rate is adjusted, while in certainty equivalent analysis, expected return is adjusted. That is the only difference. Certainty equivalent NPV can be calculated with the formula which is given. Along with that, there is explanation to the formula is also provided. Details is available in your textbook. Thank you very much with this.